The text we just heard. These are your holy words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus' words this day encourage and they instruct. He instructs us to remain in him, the true vine, because here is life. Apart from him is only spiritual death. And this life takes place as we hear the word which he says cleanses us. That word is the word of forgiveness and eternal life in the blood and wounds of our Lord Jesus. What is more, as we remain in him like a branch remaining in a vine, we will bear much fruit. Not necessarily fruit as seen to be great in this world, but much fruit and true. Unlike faith, fruit is generally external. It's what people see. It's the thing about which they care the most. Or perhaps they see what comes from the fruit. They see the bottle of Burgundy or the jar of preserves, but before the jam or the wine is the grape, and before the grape, the branch, and before the branch, the vine. Without the vine, there is no fruit. Without our Savior, there are no good works of heart, no good works of hand, no good works of voice. Jesus takes the matter up throughout the gospel. For example, he asks how one makes the fruit of a tree to be good. Is it possible for the fruit to make the tree a good tree? Or is it that the tree which is already good makes good fruit? Again, Jesus says, the good man from the good treasury of his heart brings forth good, and evil, evil. But how does one make the heart good? Generally speaking, though, people care most about the fruit, surely more about the fruit than about its source. And fruit can be a very deceptive thing. People are very interested in and will pay dearly for fruit that looks, appears to be beautiful, the shine. The actual nutritional content of the fruit is of far less importance to them because they presume that the way it looks is the way that it is. There are few aspects of the Christian faith that are as offensive to people as the truth that only Christians can do what are truly good works before God. This offends people despite the fact that they know that why someone does something changes the character of the thing that is done. If a stranger gives money to a child, a great deal has to be known before anyone will concede that this is even a civically righteous act. Why is he giving the child money? Is he expecting something in return? Is the money even his own money? Still, Jesus' words appear offensive when he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. It is very offensive to people that a Christian would believe that true good fruit, works truly pleasing before God, come only from those who are attached to the vine. But it is so. Which does not mean that unbelievers cannot do things which are civically good. Of course they can. And we should be happy when they do, for it benefits society. But even here, what does it mean when the name of the donor is mentioned after every broadcast, or the name of the contributor over the door of every building he ever contributed? Genuine fruit, good works, begin with God. A work that is pleasing to him is what a Christian does, says, or thinks in faith, according to the law, to the glory of God and the welfare of his neighbor. Now, the in faith is of critical importance because it indicates that a Christian is bound to the true vine. Christian life itself is life joined constantly to that vine. More than that, true spiritual life is only possible because there is life there in the vine. Jesus says that the disciples are already pure through the word which has been spoken to them. That is, the word has created in them this living faith. And what is this faith but direct connection to the living vine, Jesus Christ? Faith created by the very word of the gospel has made them to be branches of the true vine. Faith receives Jesus' work so that the life which is in him is also in the one who is his own by faith. Christianity is not like some odd metaphysical insurance policy enacted later. It's not some heavenly social security. When it comes to spiritual life, as with physical life, distinction between life and death is very clean. Eternal life is a present reality, not some kind of a maturing policy. And so a dead branch is cut off, but before it is cut off, it is already dead. A friend of the family who was a funeral director once tried to defend the hideous practice of abortion by saying that he was never quite sure, for his own part, about when life actually began. Of course, a young person should always be respectful. But since he was a funeral director, a person had to hope that if he wasn't too clear about when life began, that he was at least very clear about when it ended. The words of Jesus here are sharp words. The branch is alive or the branch is dead. And dead is dead. There is no place between alive and dead. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. And with this clause, he confronts directly the means of God's grace. It's not that Jesus is saying that the effort is our own. What he is saying is that there is a source of life. That source of life, eternal life, is in him. More precisely, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in his word of forgiveness, a living faith is created and sustained within us. We are bound to him in baptism. We are continually nourished in the Holy Supper. We are constantly fed, but not through pithy little religious insights we might come up with, but through the very gospel itself as we hear it, as we live it. And that's food for us. It's the very life sap which begins with our God and flows through the vine to the branches. Jesus says that the fruit given by the branches is the very glory of the vine dresser. The vine dresser who prunes the vines that they may bear yet more. And vines do indeed bear, because it's their very nature to do so. There's one other offense regarding works which we will mention, and that is their character. People want works to be notable things, notable in worldly terms. They want the extraordinary action. They want the billion-dollar donation. They want the life that's risked to save that dying child. But the work pleasing before God is anything the Christian does, says, or thinks in faith, in accord with the law, to the glory of God and to the welfare of his neighbor. In other words, the association to the vine sanctifies actions which we do not even consider to be good works. Just as sin takes place not in some abstract arena, but in one's concrete life and in accord with his concrete responsibilities, concrete station, concrete duties, so also good works are expressed in these very spheres. We confess according to the table of duties, and this is also the sphere of our works, of our fruit. So even the humblest activity, as the world sees it, becomes a good work before God when performed as Christian, while seemingly tremendous works, though always praised by everyone, may, as Luther says in the Theses, be mortal sins. Thus Jesus' words this day encourage and they instruct. He instructs us to remain in him, the true vine, because here is life. Apart from him is only spiritual death. And this life takes place as we hear the word which he says cleanses us, the word which is the word of forgiveness and life eternal through his blood and wounds. What is more, as we remain in him like a branch remaining in a vine, we will bear much fruit, not necessarily fruit seen as great by the world, but fruit. and this fruit increased by pruning glorifies God and marks us as Jesus' disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Amen.